Thank you, Lorraine. Good morning, Vancouver Pacific Grace. Grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus to you all. It's good to join you in worship this morning. And we want to thank Hansel and the team for leading us in rousing and uplifting worship. It's wonderful to come together to lift up our voices to the Lord. Now, I have preached in the Cantonese service a couple of times in your church, but this is the first time, very first time, I'm doing it in the English service. I want to thank Pastor Keith for his invite to bring you the Word of God this morning. Now, I don't think you know me that well, so let me introduce you a bit about myself. I'm married, and my dear wife is sitting up there, down there. We have three grown-up children. The two older ones are working already, and our baby, the youngest, is going to grad school at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She is doing her Master of Media Art. Now, don't ask me too much about that, because I don't know very much about that. Maybe you young people know a lot about what media art is. I used to be the lead pastor of the Burnaby Pacific Grace, your sister church. I left my ministry about a year and a half ago because I sense that God is calling me to serve Him in a different role. By the way, don't let my gray pepper hair deceive you. I'm not 65 yet. So I'm not at my retirement age. And now I'm serving on the Board of Faith and Life of the Canadian Conference of MB Churches. And I am a member of the Pastoral Ministries Committee of BC MB Conference. So a part of my duty on that committee is whenever there is a new pastor or new preacher wanting to get credentialed by the BC MB Conference, they will have to come to the committee and we will do an interview. For example, I've done interviews with Pastor Stephen So on the Chinese side. Now let me begin, I've said enough about myself. Now let me begin by asking you this question. Do you have a habit of making New Year resolutions? If yes, what are the resolutions for 2017? Now, I'd like to venture a guess. You want to eat healthier? You want to exercise more regularly? And you want to go to bed earlier instead of in the wee hours of the morning? Or you want to foster a closer relationship with God and probably with your mom and dad? Or you want to change your career? You are getting tired of what you are doing, and so you want to change your career path. Now, whatever it is, your resolution may have a far-reaching impact on your life, whether you are aware of it or not. In your opinion, what is a life-changing event? What is a life-changing event? Now, for me, it's that I studied under a good elementary school teacher in Hong Kong. It was she who taught me English. She was conscientious and kind. Above all, she genuinely cared about her students' salvation. It was she who led me to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, what about you? Is there a life-changing event in your life? I see that a number of you are still very young. Maybe there hasn't been any life-changing events yet. But I guarantee you, it will happen. Now, for one runaway shepherd, it was an encounter with a talking bush. Now, we are talking about Moses, of course. Just now, Lorraine led us in reading the passage in Exodus. Now, Moses had run away from Egypt, the country where he was born, where he was raised, where he was trained to be a successor to Pharaoh. And he had run away from a crime scene there, where he committed a murder some 40 years earlier. Now, when the event in this morning's scripture passage took place, we all know, maybe you don't know yet, Moses was already 80 years old. And he was still out tending sheep near Mount Horeb, aka Mount Sinai. Now, God arranges a most unusual meeting with him, and since then, Moses' life is never the same. And neither is ours, for that matter. We are influenced by that very meeting on that very day, in many ways, up to this day. Now, God says many things to Moses during the meeting, but there are three that I wish to look at with you this morning. God's three declarations. The first declaration is, God says to Moses, I am the God of your fathers. Now, God identifies himself, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I am the God of Jacob. Now, this revelation is most essential to Moses. And Moses must have heard, many times before that the God of his ancestors would take the Israelites back to Canaan one day. But he knows very little about this God. This face-to-face encounter with God is extremely helpful to Moses. Now, it paves the way for his long-lasting personal relationship with God, and it helps him to deal with myriads of challenges and problems when he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Now, many of you were born into this church, or you started to come to church when you were very young. Your parents, your Sunday school teachers, your youth group leaders, your pastors tell you about Jesus Christ. My question to you is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus to you? I have known many cases of young Christians like you, local born Chinese Canadian Christians. Many cases of young Christians like you struggling in their faith. They think being a Christian is about going to church, learning the Bible, especially through programs like Awana, speaking the Christian jargon only on weekends, Friday or Sunday. However, when their so-called faith is challenged, it collapses. It collapses because it's not grounded in Jesus Christ. The challenges may come in the form of traumas, personal traumas in the family, temptations, information that you learn at school, at university, contrary to the Christian faith you learn about at church. These could really be a great challenge to our faith. This morning I want to encourage you, I want to remind you, your faith must be your own. You must make your faith your very own. Your faith is not your pastor's faith. Your faith is not your Sunday school teacher's faith. Your faith is not your parents' faith. Your faith is not your group leader's faith. Your faith must be your very own. Every one of us needs to have a first-hand personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Then and only then will our faith last into eternity. Now, not only does God reveal himself to Moses, but he also calls Moses by name. Moses. Moses. Now, when we think about this event, I would perhaps think of it as Moses, you know, he was pastoring or shepherding in the wilderness, and suddenly one day, you know, he turned around, he saw this, burning bush in Mount Horeb. No, not at all. It was actually God reaching out to capture this runaway shepherd. And this is consistent with God's dealing with humanity. Now, in the Garden of Eden, it was God who came looking for Adam and Eve after they ate the forbidden fruit. And it was God who spoke through our prophet Nathan to David after David had committed adultery and murder. And it was God who appeared before Paul when Paul was on his way to arrest Christians in Damascus. And it was God who arranged this unusual meeting with Moses. You know, it's good to know. It's good to know that we can't run away or hide from God. Well, I didn't always think like that when I was younger. But now I'm older. I'm glad for it. I'm glad that I cannot run away or hide from God. You know, I like the song. I'm very glad and thankful that, God has always got his eyes on me. You know, he always watches over me. You know, I like the song, the chorus of the song, "He Knows My Name." I'm sure you know it too. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees every tear that falls and hears me when I call. You know, this song, this chorus means a lot to me because it helps me to express my gratitude, my thankfulness to my Father in heaven. When I wander off from God, he calls me to return to him with his tender, loving voice. Paul, Paul. I'm glad I can't run away or hide from my Father in heaven. You know, many of you have visited Victoria, right, on Vancouver Island. You know, for your information, my family and I used to live in Victoria. We like it there. It's a beautiful city, isn't it? The Queen Elizabeth II, thinks so too. She went to Victoria in 2002 as part of the celebration of the 50th anniversary of her coronation. Now, that afternoon, my wife and I, you know, Eva and I, lined up at the fence outside the Empress Hotel, waiting to see the Queen. And she was going to have tea there with all the dignitaries. And then that moment arrived. She passed by us on the way in. And suddenly, she stopped in front of me and said, "Paul, is that you? You stop by for tea later, won't you?" What do you think? No. It didn't happen. But we did see the Queen up close, at a very close distance. She didn't talk to us, though. She doesn't know me from Adam, and I don't expect her to. But my Father, my God in heaven, knows. He knows me, and he knows each of you. You know, God knows everyone. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus stops under a tree where Zacchaeus sits. He stops by a table where Levi is collecting tax. He stops in Jericho, where the blind Bartimaeus is begging for money. Now, all of them have their lives changed. because God acknowledges them. You know, this morning, God stops at your door. In the book of Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at your door and I am knocking. Will you open that door?" Now be careful. Be careful. It will change your life forever. Now perhaps there are areas in your life whose doors are still closed to Jesus. Jesus wants to go in and bless you abundantly, but he can't because you won't let him. You hear him knocking on your door this morning. Open the door and let him in, won't you? Now, God's second declaration is, he says to Moses, "Moses, I am sending you." Now, God doesn't ask about Moses' own long-term goals or if he has a retirement plan. After all, Moses is 80 years old and should have been retired long time ago by today's standard, right? But God just says to Moses, "Moses, I am sending you." Now, this is God's affirmation for Moses, and Moses discovers he is useful to God. I wonder what Moses, you know, thought about for the 40 years he herded sheep far away from Egypt. He must have wondered. He must have wondered many times around what life must have been if he had stayed and continue to live as a prince of Egypt. Maybe he thought he had totally ruined his life. Or maybe there were days when he was glad that he was just out there somewhere in the wilderness herding sheep. I cannot imagine there were any days when Moses had any thought that the God of his fathers had a useful plan for him to fulfill. After all, he's 80 years old. Now, you think you're too young in the faith to be used by God. Or you think you're too old to be active or useful to God. Think again. Find a burning bush and listen. Listen carefully a while. You may be surprised. God spoke to Moses, or Samuel, when he was a young child serving God in the tabernacle. God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the tomb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And Caleb, right? Caleb was 80 years old, just like Moses, when he conquered the mountainous region of Hebron. You know, God has a Moses, and so Moses has a purpose. Moses is to lead his fellow countrymen, the Israelites, from the land of slavery to the promised land. Now, regardless of our age, God has a common purpose for all of us. While on earth, Jesus said, "My purpose is to find all the lost sheep in Israel." If you have been found, then you have a purpose. You are to tell others how Jesus has found you and changed your life. Now, just now I told you I became a Christian at a very young age. Now fast forward to my university years. Now, while studying at the University of Alberta, God gave me a burden for local-born Chinese Christians. And in a winter conference, now you guys know about winter conference, right? In a winter conference at Banff, I dedicated myself to full-time ministry in, you know, God's kingdom. And yes, you know, you may be surprised. Oh, wow. You know, the winter conference was at Banff in those days? Yeah, it was in Banff, at the center, Banff Center of fine arts. The environment is just fantastic. you know, surrounded by trees, snowy, very scenic, very beautiful. And yet, God speaks to hundreds of thousands of young students, university, you know, students like me. Now, over the years, I count it a blessing and privilege to serve God with the English-speaking brothers and sisters in different churches, in different situations. Now, Jesus said, my purpose is to find all the lost sheep in Israel. If you have been found, then you have a purpose. You are to tell others how Jesus has found you and how he wants you to be his witness. Moses found out that he was not surplus. He was necessary. You know, once you have been found, you are no longer surplus. You are valuable in the eyes of God. In Christ, there are no disposable people. It's not the pastors, it's not the church workers, it's not the deacons, it's not the elders who are useful, who are valuable. Everyone is valuable in God's sight when you are found by Jesus Christ. If you find a burning bush, listen a while. Pay attention. Maybe you will hear something that will change your life and someone else's life, just like what my elementary school teacher has done for me. Now, God's third declaration is, God says, I will be with you. Now, there's real security in knowing that God is with us. And being told that he was about to return to Egypt to bring the Israelites out of that land, Moses gave a response. Response which is about the same as ours, when we are told to do something which is not really to our liking, which is not our cup of tea, right? And Moses said, no way, God, no, 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 no. You found the wrong person. I'm just a shepherd. Besides, I'm old, and I can't speak, and all, you know, the excuses. You know, what God does not say is, but Moses, think of your training as a prince. You know Egypt. You were born and brought up there. Anyone else would get lost. I've seen you take charge with other shepherds. You are a good leader. You are my man. No, God does not say any of that. What he does say, what God does say is, I will be with you. Now, incidentally, that was the same thing God said to Joshua after Moses' death. You know, Joshua was overwhelmed by this tremendous responsibility of leading more than a million people into the promised land. And God understood Joshua's apprehension. And therefore, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, this is very reassuring for Joshua because he has seen how God stayed with Moses. He has seen how God helped Moses through thick and thin. I will be with you, God says. This is the best promise any believer can receive from God. I will be with you. You know, at this very moment, you know, God knows. God knows how you are feeling. Feeling on this very first Sunday without Pastor Keith, without his wife Cecilia, without their child, their daughter Audrey. It's somewhat difficult to not see them or see Pastor Keith in the pulpit here. He should have been here, not Paul Lam. It's difficult not to see Pastor Keith in Sunday school, in small groups, etc. But God is saying to you this morning, Vancouver Pacific Grace, I will be with you. You know, you may be thinking, you know, God's promise to Moses has nothing to do with me. I'm not Moses. I'm not Joshua. Maybe you haven't been listening. Maybe you haven't been listening to that burning bush. But never fear. Life is long, long enough for God to make use of you as he did with Moses. Right? God waited for 40 years before he called Moses. And God is patient enough to take as long as it takes to find you in case you are a runaway too. Now, when you go to London, I don't know how many of you have been to London. If you go to London, one visit that you must make is the Tower of London, where you can see the crown jewels, right? The crown jewels of the Windsor family. They are magnificent. There are several crowns on display, all encrusted with jewels. Imagine seeing one of the crowns with a jewel missing. And you ask someone if it has been stolen, and the guard tells you, no. Nothing has ever been stolen. The designer designed it to have 64 jewels, but there were only 63 at the time available. And so it was made that way. So that's the way it is. I don't think so. You don't think so either. No king or queen would wear a crown with a jewel missing. But what if you know where a jewel is, and that would fit perfectly in that crown? You know, many Christians misunderstand the call of God. They think it is only for those who are entering full-time ministry. I tell you this morning, it is not so. The call of God is not about full-time ministry, nor is it about a profession or career. And we may hear someone say, oh, God has called me to be a teacher. God has called me to be a doctor. God has called me to be an engineer. The call of God is not like that. You know, Oz Guinness, a very good, famous Christian writer, in his book, The Call, defines the call of God as follows. He says in his book, our primary calling as followers of Jesus Christ is by him, to him, and for him. First and foremost, we are called to someone that is God, not to something such as motherhood, politics, or teaching, or to somewhere such as the inner city or Outer Mongolia. You know, the call of God is part and parcel of our salvation. We accept it when we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God calls us to be his followers first, and homemaker, professional, pastor, retiree, whatever, second. Those things are second to God first. This is what Jesus said to the fishermen brothers on the seashore of Galilee. Listen, Jesus said to the four brothers, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see the order? Follow me. Following Jesus is a lifelong decision. Whether we are a student, a pastor, an accountant, a college professor, a doctor, a pharmacist, or a retiree, we all are full-time followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, the term full-time should never be a special designation reserved for pastors, for missionaries, or for church workers. We all are full-time because God, first and foremost, calls us to be his followers. And so whatever we are, and wherever we may be, we should think, speak, live, and act entirely for God. We ought not be weekend or Sunday Christians. Now, Vancouver Pacific Grace, God wants to talk to each of you this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of your situation. You know, the burning bush may be your quiet time in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night. You know, different people do it different times. The burning bush may be your Bible study, maybe a special situation, or maybe even this morning's sermon, this morning's message. Perhaps the most important discovery will be that God knows. God knows you by your name. That, you know, God knows you are the lost jewel. The lost jewel who has been found. You know, Jesus Christ is the eternal King. He is the King of glory. He would like you to be part of his crown, shining for him. Who knows? Who knows what God will ask you to do? But when he does, he will be with you as you do it. And he knows that's enough, because God, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the redeemer of humanity, is all yours. He is with you. So at the start of a new year, 2017, even though this is February already, I think this is still relatively new, right? So let us reflect on the following. I've got something for you to reflect on together. Do I have a personal relationship with God? Am I first and foremost a follower of Jesus Christ? This could be your burning bush question. Do I hear the call of God? If not, I may be too busy. Too busy with my own things. And the third one is, I am resolved to think, speak, live, and act entirely for God in whatever I do and wherever I am. And last but not least, I hope you can see it. For I know, you know, God says to you, and maybe let's read it together. You know, God has a plan for you and for me. Maybe let us read this, you know, very famous verse together. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Please join me. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God is saying this to you. God is promising you this, my brothers and sisters. And God is calling you. Do you hear him this morning? Where is your burning bush? Are you listening? Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father,